Good evening, everyone. You've tuned into Radiance by Design. This is Veronica Entwistle, and here we are, 2016 Holy Mackerel. What a lot of a big zoo it is out there. How many of you feel kind of stressed or overwhelmed, or how is the change factor impacting your world? I know I've talked about it before, but I'm going to talk about it again, that I see these, and you know I'm an intuitive, right? And I see these huge swashbuckling waves of frequency being downloaded in the universes, from the universes. And I saw them for a number of years, but wasn't quite sure what to do with it. You know, when you have visions and you go, it takes a while, like a dream analysis, doesn't it? It takes a while to really get it. But I've noticed lately with some of the work I've been doing with the Kalishwar group here, Alex Utterman, Mata, various people are teaching things like the fire homas, the clearing of some of the stuff in our past, and learning to take the Kriya Yoga I've been studying as well, that learning to take the downloads from, for example, the presence of Shiva and the presence of great beings right now. And I'm kind of intermingling them in my mind with these huge universal downloads and these great beings of consciousness and love and light, seeing that they could be interchanged in terms of how to talk about them. But what I do know also is that you and I have recordings of all kinds of ancient history, modern history, your lifetime history, your lineage, my lineage, and then our interactions are sometimes a real potboiler. And then we've got new inventions, new trauma. We have the Trump card being played in the elections. We have corruption at an all-time high, at least as clear as a bell, at an all-time high. And people's support systems have been cut back radically. People are making less money. They have fewer benefits. And this stress about money is just ridiculous. The stress about vaccination and other big pharma games, all of that is very political and very crazy. And we seem to have lost a lot of our rights. although I noticed that the dark, what is it called? I have to look it back up to hear what I was just reading. But that they've overturned, Dark Act, which is the law that would have supported Monsanto's policies about not labeling GMO products or allowing states to require GMO labeling. The victory was caused by people calling their lawmakers and insisting this law be defeated. Yay for people! So that's what we hear. They're waiting to confirm that. So there's some big stuff going on, and there's some real illumination of some of the trials and tribulations about being a human being and trusting the media, trusting the how they keep information about Bernie down to a minimum. And of course, the glory of the 1% is Hillary Baby, and they make sure that she's really got the limelight and trumpet pump as well. So it's like we've got a lot on our plates. Do you feel like that? How are you doing? I hope you're going to call in tonight. We have some wonderful beings who have sent in their requests to be taken into the structures. And I'm going to put some friends in myself. What else did I want to say? Oh, one of the things that I found out or that I wanted to talk about tonight was the fact that a lot of us are playing way down deep inside of ourselves. Here we are trying to evolve because they've got these tremendous waves of change that are making it easier for you to shock, like acupuncture does, push out old dense frequencies that come from reactions or lineage or whatever. These changes are actually making it easier for you and I to get two things. One is disrupted and insecure, and the other is to get hold of what are these deepened feelings that are rising, just like a lot of the corruption on the planet, but your deepest feelings are rising to be looked at, to be dealt with, to acquaint yourself or actually love yourself more with the amount of awareness, self-awareness that you've got. So as these things come up, it's really amazing to see what is rising in you. So let's take a few minutes before we jump into the structures. Oh, and I'd really like some of you to call in. I think you know that, right? So what I wanted to say is I had some really interesting healing work done on me today through a Korean yoga group, very, very interesting group. They're called Dawn. Have you ever heard of them? D-A-H-N. They have a number of different places in the country, and they're really, really good about the kind of yoga they do. I think I'm going to study it. But in any case, they did some work. Excuse me, it's making me yawn. I'm making myself yawn. What does that mean? It means I'm moving some old energies inside. Anyway, they're working on me today. And also I went through the yoga process there today. And lo and behold, I discovered, they said you at a deep level, you're under a lot of stress. And I realized accessing my own inner, we're saying already, it's easier to do that than it has been. We're not hiding behind a great wall anymore. I discovered that I'm really, it's like my guides called it a PTSD kind of thing from an early childhood traumatic life. But it's being exacerbated by some of the stresses in my life. And not that my life's hard, it's just that some of these old programs that you have and that I have created a certain kind of pulse in me or in you that we can recognize and actually get rid of. So mine is overwhelm. And I always felt like I was, and how does it play out in my life? I always felt like I didn't have time to get the things done at all. I didn't have time to get things done. And so I was pushing and I was in overwhelm. So what they were saying today is, thank you. Thanks for calling in, Alea. I'm going to let you wait for the meditation before I pull you into the front of the floor here. So what I wanted to say was that look in yourselves right now. What kind of programming do you have that's up front and center in your world? For me, I have overwhelm. And when I go into it, it's like seeing that sometimes I seem to have way too much to do. And that may not be true. And it may be true. But the reality is behind that feeling of, oh, there's way too much to do, there's this incredibly deep demand going on, like, get it done, you got to be safe. It's really, really incredible. And I haven't always noticed that. But when I finally got with it today under these healing experiences, I realized that it's been there most of my life. And my guides were saying, yes, and it's time for you to bring it up and feel it. I don't know how long it's going to take me to clear it, but I look at you and a whole bunch of you have got, some of you have got a real hold back pattern, holding back really hard. And some of you have induced body pain with it because where you're holding, you're actually compressing or storing reactions that are all in the same kind of subject matter, right? So you know, there's a couple of you I'm looking at. It looks like you feel kind of dull inside or maybe depressed, and you're probably on antidepressants or something. Somebody else, you're holding in such a way as to have a lot of hip pain. Somebody else, you're holding in a way so it's making me yawn. I have a lot of neck pain and back of your head. And it's holding. For me, it's, and there's a bunch of you out there with some version of this, doesn't have to be exactly like me. It's keeping, being a watcher, keeping eye on what's going on because you just don't know what's going to happen, right? So, and that's part of the old trauma, but you can figure it out. We can look at our lives and we can say, oh, yeah, I'm a slower reactor because I'm busily watching, right? So I want you all to work on that kind of thing. I want you to take a minute right now and go into yourself and take a look also at your life, right? And say, what am I doing? What am I wanting to do? And what is the underpinning reaction that's been recorded deep down inside of me? And at least one of them, let's bring one of them up and neutralize them. So let's do our sacred geometrics, and we might take it right into the Galactic Healing Center when we're ready, okay? So just take a couple of deep breaths. Good. When you take those deep breaths, remember that the old programs in there can start to move around. It's almost like you've sent nice, warm, fuzzy air in and around them, so they don't have to be kind of jammed inside you. Excellent. Now, above your head, about 2 miles, a golden ball. And below your spine, about 40 feet, another golden ball. And drop a filament of light from the upper golden ball all right down through your spine, vertebrae by vertebrae, into the lower golden ball. Now, from the upper ball, drop a golden pyramid. And it only goes down to about waist height. Push it out so you get to play and dance underneath it. And then upside down, another golden pyramid, and its point goes into the lower golden ball. And when we push those two pyramids to base to base, one point sticking up, one point sticking down, you've created a beautiful golden diamond. We're going to do a lot of work in that diamond. First thing we're going to do is inside the diamond, create a crystal ball. The outside edges of that crystal ball touch the inside edges of your golden diamond. And now inside of that, there's a star tetrahedron. It's like a three-dimensional Star of David. And you're the one who's inside of that. Can you see yourself? So here you've got the beautiful filament of light from the upper golden ball running down through your spine into the lower golden ball. And you're in a star. Now remember, this is your Merkaba, this is your light body, this is what you use to shift dimensions. So we're going to spin it and spin it and spin it and spin it. And we know when we spin it, it creates a higher and higher frequency, higher and higher frequency, spin and spin and spin and spin. And look at the wonderful colors coming off. And now in front of you, I want to see this beautiful magical screen. And the screen is where we're going to place some new movies created by you, produced and directed, designed, produced, directed, acted in, oh heavens. And the first movie is you becoming who you want to become. Who do you want to become? I always say the same thing. I want to be consciously multidimensional. I'd like to see some aliens and so on too, if there's such a name, ETs. I think I've seen them, but anyway, we want more of that. We want it to be on the level. Now, I want you to wrap. When you can see yourself becoming who it is you want to become, for me, consciously multidimensional, take some beautiful light, wrap this in light, and move it over to the left. And now we're going to do another movie. Yes. I want you to see yourself creating something you want. It could be home and family. It could be a business. It could be a world travel, a universal travel. It could be a space travel. It could be writing a book, playing some music, learning something, cooking. It doesn't matter. Just something you want to create. See all the pieces, the money, the time, the space, all of it is flowing to you to help create your chosen project. And when it comes to completion, there it is. It's beautiful. Yay. Hey, how wonderful. Clap yourself. Clap for yourself, right? And then what we do is we call in all the time, the money, the resources, everything we need to maintain this project. Excellent. And now, When we do that, we then move on to the next thing, don't we? Wrap that in light, move it over to the side, and now we're going to do the Galactic Healing Center. All right. Now, the Galactic Healing Center is a very beautiful, beautiful healing center. And it's staged with a bed, a healing bed. You know what they look like, a healing table. And around it, you're going to call from your wonderful guidance, because we all have a team of amazing beings, some great beings that are going to stand in a circle around your table. And the first person is going to come running into the Galactic Healing Center, and plop on the table is you. Get on that table. Good. And as you lie there, ask for help for whatever it is you need. Good. Good. Do you know what you want? Because if you don't know what you want, ask your healing team to tell you what it is you need. Yeah. And then I can feel the energy. Can you feel the energy amping up around you? I can feel it around me. It's huge. Yeah. Yeah. And now when we've got, make sure that it's going. And when you can really feel the energy moving, wrap it in light and move it over to the left. And now we're going to have another healing table come in. This is a healing. On this one, we want a woman who's in Montana, and she has some big issues. She has money issues and physical issues, and the money issues are prohibiting her from doing the support for the physical issues. The physical issues are very, very dire, and they say she's going to lose her movement, and she'll be all, you know, unable to walk and everything if she doesn't deal with this soon. So I said, you know what? First of all, I think she's going to find ways around this and is going to raise some money for her surgery. But also, I know, and you know this, if we all collect our wits and wisdom, and also in the hearts and souls of these guides and ascended beings, we could send to her some healing energy and some beliefs that she can be lifted and healed beyond her wildest dreams. In the name of love, in the name of Mother, Father, God, and Creator Spirit. And I can feel it just percolating there. So let's wrap that in light, move it over to the left. And remember, your healing team can replicate themselves. So now we're going to bring in several tables. And on these tables, we're going to bring in people who have a lot of body pain, okay? And people who are really in chronic misery with all that. Let's bring them in. So I see 3, 4, 5. Oh, my goodness. Good. There's a couple of men. Very often it's just women who want to play, but I like it when the men come in because, you know, they're part of the deal too. So let's see them all. Good. And each of them has a chronic condition. But you know what? It's true that each of them has a sort of a dire doubt that anything can be done because their circumstance is so hard. And I'm saying, come on, you guys. This is one of the greatest things that you can do for yourself, is to remove that doubt and make higher contact with the beings who live beyond time and space, and who are great forces of energy for you and me, great forces of love. And I see each of these five beings being worked on by their own healing team. Remember, the healing teams can replicate themselves as many ways as they want. And you can even choose a different wish. But I'm seeing each of these tables is surrounded by our healing team, and the work is pulsing through. Yeah. Now, one of them, I'm seeing one of them who has a great deal of pain. I'm seeing in his base chakra that they're wanting to work on actually infusing the base chakra with new energy, because he's born into a very strong lineage that's been very crippling. So what we're doing, and you can do this as well, what we're doing is imbuing in his red chakra some very strong healing energy. We're sending in violet flame, and the guides and angels that are standing around his table are actually working, manipulating his lower back right now, and also his thighs. Remember the thighs record how the support you got from the feminine growing up and the masculine growing up. The masculine on the right, feminine on the left. So he's being worked on all those regards, but he has to shift his beliefs. And the rest of you, you're doing a really good job, and you are shifting your beliefs. Each one of you is very conscious of having to ask for help, and also having to admit that you had kind of a block about that. Get your blocks up and out. It's like me talking about overwhelm. It really is helpful for me to see what that is, feel where it is in my body, and move it along. And you move it with your intention, with energy. You can make sound. You can sing it out. You can yodel it out any way you want. So each one of these beings on this five tables has had to grapple with their own deep-seated old reaction. One of the biggest reactions that prevents our spiritual journey is resistance. And we all have resistance, but some people have a lot more resistance than others. So I want you all to, whilst you're working with the guides and angels here, I want you all to go inside and feel your own level of resistance, resistance to magic, resistance to being guided. Good. When you feel it, you don't just sit around and wallow in it because you're really happy you found it. You don't want to keep it that way. I mean, you want to see what it is, and then you want to drag it up and hand it over to the guides and angels, okay? And then we're going to wrap that night. Now I have another family I almost forgot about. Just a sec. We're moving some of the energy over here. Okay, so we have a new group here, and it's a family. There are two children. No, there's three children, I'm sorry. And a mom and dad. And the dad has some huge health issues, and the mom lost her job. And they've got money. They've got some money. But their kids are fraught with the tensions going on in the family, too. But they really are very dire. It's he's had some big brain trauma. And the whole family's under too much stress. So let's ask our healing team to come in and replicate themselves around the mother, the father, and the three separate children so they can all feel that the presence is with them. Now see these healing angels around. There we are. Yeah. Okay. And we're asking that they be gifted with some form of peace and also some healing. Yes. Each one of them in his or her own way needs to find a healing. When adults' lives are really complicated like that, the little ones feel tremendous anxiety. And again, we talk about overwhelm. So I'm asking especially for the little girl, actually for all the kids, some special attention for their overwhelm, because what they do is vacillate between wanting to help the parents and being reactive and a little out of control. So there you are. Let's just load that plate. Good. Now wrap it in light and move it over to the side. And now look at our political stuff. Oh my gosh. Let's bring on a table and we're going to put a political situation in it. What would you like to put in there? Aaliyah, I know you're there. What would you like to put on the political situation? Oh, she's probably taking a break. Oh, well, Aaliyah and Holly, get back on the line. Come on.
Okay, so let's pick a political situation. Obviously it's the
election, but let's pick another one. Okay, let's pick. I don't know what's happened with the fellow who's being recommended for the security for the Supreme Court. I know that they were going to try to block Obama on anything that he put up for the Supreme Court. So let's put Obama up on the table, and let's put, because I think what we want to do is accelerate the rate at which some of these things are being done instead of having this talk about resistance, blocking everything, right? So let's see both of these up on the table, Obama and the fellow that they're going to put in there. And let's see the healing table, the guides and angels that are surrounding them. And they're sweeping away the old strings and dust and all that stuff that they, yeah, that's it. Okay. And we're infusing light into Mr. Obama. Whether or not you like him, he's got a few things he needs to get done in order to complete this with some success, right? There we go. And we're seeing the light just absolutely infuse both of them. Good. And wrap it in light and move it over to the left. And now what we're going to do is reach up with our mind as sculpting tools, and we're going to call in some of these amazing frequencies that are being downloaded. Who's downloading them? I think it's a natural flow of events because the universe has never been this way before and continues to be a swashbuckling agent of change in which we could call it our amniotic fluid, or you could call it our energy infusions that we all need to live, right? Okay, so let's reach up with our mind. And as a sculpting tool, and call in some of the new frequencies, the ones that are just very love nurturing, and help us expand into our ability, to our hearts to open, and the expansion that's possible. There we are. Let's just call it in and feel your body mind expanding. Yes, and bring in those frequencies and run them right down through the top of your head, down into your heart, and have them cycle round and round in the heart. Move up and move down your arms. So your arms are absolutely radiant with this very amazing, healing, loving energy. And now as it comes poking out of your hands, see yourself patting, patting various places on the planet. Pat, 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 pat. Places where people are sick. Places where there's been egregious and greedy possession of people's lives. Places where there's war and pestilence. Places where the animals have been destroyed, or the ecosystem is being destroyed by our greed and industrial doodah. That's right. We're just patting it all over the planet, and have it go round and round and round the planet, round and round and round the planet, until the atmosphere on the planet is just getting a lot thicker. And it's beautiful. Oh, my goodness. And even the beings, the ETs, can see that we might be growing up. Instead of just killing each other off, we could learn to nurture one another. Oh my gosh, I wonder what we could accomplish if we knew how to do that. So then, now call in again, Aaliyah and Holly, and whoever was online. So I want you to we're going to jump down into the, we're going to close off the Galactic Healing Center. Right. And now we're going to jump into the star tetrahedron again. And we're all going to spin and spin and spin in that beautiful star. Remember, that's a star that you can shift dimensions with. Right. But the art of using it is a kind of a little bit intricate. And what you want to do is spin and spin and spin and feel how the art of spinning in that is actually a great way to shift your fields and frequencies. Remember, change the energy, change the reality. So now we've closed off the Galactic Healing Center. You spin and spin and spin. And now I'd like you to step into the room with me. Woohoo! Now, what's going on in your life? I hope some of you are going to call in. Sorry I kept you waiting, but that's kind of the tradition on this particular show. But I'd really love you to call back in, so please consider it. So let's see, what were we talking about? We're talking about how you and I have this underlying stuff. Now, if it's true that we can change, right, we're going to evolve, are we not? Even though they're not talking about that on Fox News at this point, are they? But we are going to be able to evolve and evolve, and some of that is just making a choice. And what is the choice, right? The choice, to me anyway, is finding out, what am I creating? I am patterned in my life, and what am I creating over and over and over again, and how can I uncreate that? So the example that I used earlier was that I found that I had a lot of overwhelm deep down, and they told me that it's like a real PTSD from traumatic way earlier in life. And it's sort of interesting to talk about that, because a lot of us are super concerned about veterans these days, and that they have enough to eat and a warm place to sleep and so on, but also that they get help for mental health issues from states of extreme trauma, because they run around with overwhelm. The people, this is not my level. My level is much milder. But people who have had, good. Sharon, you're going to be on in 1 minute. So I just want to say that people that have a lot of hidden overwhelm can be very reactive, and that can be dangerous. Sharon, you're on the air. Thanks for calling in.
Hi.
Hello. Hi, honey. So, how are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing okay. I've been feeling a lot of what you're talking about, both in myself and then also in people around me. And you just talked about people feeling a lot of hidden overwhelm and then being especially reactive. And
right.
I'm seeing that at work. I'm seeing that with my brother. I'm seeing that, obviously, in the political landscape in our country. And so I was just wondering if you could talk a little about navigating that.
Isn't it something?
It's a little scary. Yeah, scary and unsettling.
I think one of the greatest things, for example, the people who are in political positions who are overreactive, can't we really see how dangerous that is for everyone, you know?
Yeah.
I think it helps when you look out there and you see those things going on, and you know how crazy and zany it is. You can drop into yourself and ask to feel if you are overreactive, and what does that feel like? And you can usually find it in certain parts of your body, like your belly or your solar plexus, and you can bring it up and feel it. And to navigate, which is a good way to put it, you want to have reduced your own reactiveness, for example, so that you can walk through the briar patch, if you will. You see what I mean? You learn to keep your mouth shut at times, because reaction leading to reaction, as you know, I don't even tell you that. It's crazy, isn't it?
It is. And at the same time, though, I don't want to be completely passive and just let people walk all over me. I worry about that, again, politically too, that nationally, internationally. What's the mix between saying something, standing up, and then, like you said, keeping your head down and letting it pass and just checking in with yourself? It's hard to know.
I think the mix is not to get into the reactive part.
Okay.
You see what I mean? If we do a hair shirt or hair shirt, if we do a trigger, if you say something and I go, you know what, she's, and then we're in it, I mean, neither of us resolves anything. So if we see somebody reacting, we go clear our own quietly, or at least bring it up so it's neutral and not lurk it in the background. But then you don't react. You can act then. You can say things. You can, you see what I mean? You can speak things. You can speak the truth. And I agree that and you know something else? I'm really glad you said what you said, because years ago, a lot of us were told that it's very bad for us to get involved in these extreme situations or to read the newspaper or any of those things. But, you know, a lot of that's changed. Like, we really need to be voices.
Right. Exactly.
Out there. Don't we?
We need to be a voice
of honesty, a voice of... Have you had some trouble with that?
Well, so a bunch of my friends and I, when we get together for dinner or brunch or whatever, and we talk about how things are going in the world, we worry about not speaking up enough. Are we doing enough? Should we be going to rally? Should we be writing more letters to the editor, to our legislators, or whatever? Because we don't want to just allow things to happen by default. But at the same time, it seems so exhausting and so scary and overwhelming. I'm glad you used that word overwhelming a couple times already. It almost feels insurmountable, and we find ourselves kind of hunkering down, and that can't be healthy completely. I mean, I know it's good to rest and rejuvenate, but we have to engage in the world.
Well, I think you're right. This is a really difficult thing for everybody, really, isn't it?
Right.
You know, because
right.
I know people who just refuse to look. And my heart goes, well, I want the groundswell for change, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know who, I don't want to preach politics, but I really see the potential for rising consciousness through this election, but that's not the only option. So it's kind of like we need all our voices for it, don't we?
Yes, right.
And so you got to trust yourself. But I do think, back to everybody at home, I think we have to look at ourselves as we see reactions and see where our angers are and really feel them and release as much as we can our knee-jerk reactions, our bitterness, our prejudices. I hate that one, where you really got to look at your own prejudice. Have you ever thought of that?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And that's important. And I like what you're saying about being calm and checking in with yourself in the middle of someone else's reaction. That's really good. I forget that part a lot.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of us do. But I think the thing about it is you can always hand it over to your guides too, you know.
Oh.
Yeah. I like doing that. I say, take this. Look what I'm going to, you know, and usually they, or I'll say, do this through me, and then they'll walk me through something. It could be pretty stormy, only it seems to be a lot easier, you know.
Okay.
Does that
like
help
that.
You a little
Thank
bit?
You.
Yeah.
It yeah. does. Thank
and
you. Thank you.
Life's good. Do you have any other questions? I'm really glad you called in.
Thank you. A couple weeks ago, you talked about animals and more of a, I don't know if you were saying more of an awareness in them or more of a connection between us and them. I think it was the second one. And could you talk about that a little more?
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting subject because I get this information is coming through just intuition and stuff, but also Facebook. Have you noticed, do you go onto Facebook, Sharon?
Not much, no.
Well, it's so interesting because people always love the cat videos and the this and that. And I really got, like, I was kind of bored with a lot of that. But I've noticed lately, and that's me having to, you know, get out of my own way. But I've noticed lately that a lot of the pictures are about, or the little movies are about different. Like, I saw a cat snuggling with a little, like a Gila monster. And they're just great buddies. There's a lot more of people understand, or a cat or a dog or some kind of an animal, really understanding the condition that people were in, you know, like participating in a trauma and helping people. And there's more and more of that kind of intelligence being featured on Facebook, the intelligence of animals.
Okay.
I think it's a part of that, you know, we talked about those frequencies that are moving through. I think we're all potentially much brighter than we've been. What do you think of that?
I like that a lot. And I like what you said earlier about nurturing each other rather than this whole combative, putting each other down, making each other smaller. It's so exhausting and counterproductive and So I like to keep thinking about the nurturing. It's so important.
But, you know, I agree with you. And the other thing about that, though, is we have to be kind to ourselves and realize that we have been fighting. We've been an abusive society, and we have been fighting against one another. If I have it, you won't. If you have it, I won't. We've been living like that for thousands of years. And I think we have to be kind as we sort of stretch our way out of some of that, you know. Do you see what I'm trying to say? This, we have to be kind to ourselves when we find out. When I find out I've got some prejudices, I have to go, oh, okay. Got to move it through and not dislike myself for it. You see?
I agree. Right. The self-care, how we talk to ourselves can make all the difference in terms of how we talk with others.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. It's conscious communication. So thanks for bringing that up, too.
Yeah. All right. Oh, thank you.
You seem happy. Good to talk to you, Sharon.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
You too. And thanks for your call.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
So goodbye. This is Veronica saying, okay, come on, call back, Aaliyah. Call back, Holly. Love to talk to you. In any case, I think it's really interesting that the consciousness... Let me see. What does the word conscious mean? I like it because we all bandy it about. But every now and then you have to kind of develop your own glossary. You have to go in and look up all the words that we're bandying about. To me, consciousness means that that you have to be sensitive. I would say physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually sensitive in the moment. What do you think of that? So I'm saying, like, I called myself as in a state of overwhelm, okay? I wasn't conscious of that until today. That's not quite true. I was conscious of it periodically, but today I really discovered that it's something that's been in me for a long, long time. And that my consciousness would make me aware of how that has been recorded in my physical, even my physical appearance probably, or the way I use my energy or the way I speak or so on and so forth. But to be conscious to me is a physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual situation. Overwhelm, for example, pushes me, and those, the rest of you that have that experience as well, it pushes us to always be battling against time. It's hard to just unwind. It's hard to relax because you think you're relaxing, but something deep down is like a little furnace burning, zzz, pushing you. You know, there's some other things that you can call in with your stuff that's recorded in there. But another word that I want to say is worth sussing out or putting in our list of glossary terms is ambition. Ambition is something that can really, it can be a route to success at a certain level, but can really despoil a whole inner drive in your life. It can make it difficult to love yourself. And if we don't love ourselves, we can't love other people. You know, you might be in love or that sort of thing, but it's really, really, really tricky to be absolutely loving yourself if you're really, really ambitious. You see what I mean? Because you can get narcissistic, you can get overblown, you can get single thought, meaning you would be focusing on your ambition and miss. Have you ever been so busy that you forget that you've got this wonderful child, or there's a wonderful dinner and somebody put flowers on the table, or, you know, that sort of thing? We don't remember to smell the roses. So what's going on inside of you? I see several of you. Several of you are actually hopeless and feel... Now, I want you to drop into your stomach. This is a sort of a stomach thing. And ask yourself if you feel hopeful or hopeless about life. A number of people in this country are depressed. Duh! You didn't know that, right? And so what do? We use the big pharma antidepressants, or some of us use 5-HTP, vitamin B, GABA-COM, and holy basil. I don't know what all the tools are. But there's a lot of very interesting alternative ways that are natural to deal with depression. But if you think about depression, which is undealt with, you go inside your body and feel it's kind of... everything I experience in colors. So I'm seeing it as kind of like a brownish, probably the color of kind of wet mud. And it holds people down. So if you've got a depression, you can feel it pulling you down. I'm down today, you might say, and it's pulling you down. And just getting the mobile, how it mobilizes itself through your body mind is a great way to introduce yourself to the feelings that are in there. When you find a feeling, I think I might be depressed, follow it through your physical. Follow it and see where it sits mostly, and B, what impact does it have on your organs? What impact? I mean, how many of you have heard that term, that bladder? When you've got bladder issues, it means you're pissed off. I'll bet you've all heard that. Excuse my language. I think it's the language we've all heard. And so what I'm saying is, when you're holding an anger in there, where you get to release it is kind of a complex situation, right? I mean, but for you to pay attention, so if you have a UTI or something, to drop in there and really feel how your body is expressing the emotions that you're holding back on inside your body. Because I believe that the UTI is holding back on anger, stuffing it down in the lower regions, maybe thinking you're going to get rid of it if you don't look. There's more than that, okay? So people, I started speaking of someone who's got, I'm picking on the same person on purpose, someone who's got very fiery pain across, especially on the right hip, I believe, and the pelvic area going around the back, just below where the kidneys reside in the body. And that person is holding a kind of a, your pelvic area, it houses your entire second chakra, right? Which is everybody else's influence. So standing in the back of our own womb saying, who am I in the middle of all this? And the purpose of your life is to give birth to your real self. So when we go back into this thing, if you've got a holding pattern in there and you're holding and putting stuff right on the pelvic area, or you're inflaming your pelvic area with like I was talking about, face your own prejudices, face your own stuff that you don't like about yourself, that you're a bigot sometimes, I'm not saying amp it up and become a greater bigot. I'm saying look at what you're doing, because we all have those things that we want to deny because we've come from thousands of years of living on this planet. And so what do? We stuff the reactions away so we don't see them. So when I see this person who's in chronic pain, especially the one I'm seeing is on the mostly on the right side of the pelvic area at the back. But it can be anywhere. You don't have to be that particular person to get this. So if you have hidden anger, or you have hidden resistance, or you have a bitterness about an old lover or a grandparent or this or that, where is it in your body? And the ultimate question is, what am I holding? And is holding it a really a good idea? What does it cost me? A lot of you have had artificial knees put in. Knees are where we hold fear. And our legs are how we are understood, understanding, of course. And the higher part of the leg, the upper part, the thigh, is... on the right side is how you were taught men would support you. On the left side, how you were taught women would support you. And they're both of those are absolutely filled with different nuances about what male and female support has felt like in your life. Now, and then we go farther up to my friend whose hip is really in terrible shape. She doesn't really have a feeling of being being supported by male or female. She feels at times like a victim, that she's whining within herself because she has to do everything herself. But on the other hand, she's a real go-getter. She does a lot of things. And so when she's troubled by some of those feelings, she stuffs them in the body. And I'm saying to all of you, let's move out of this. Let's take full advantage of these downloaded frequencies and talk to our body and bring up those feelings. Whoa, I have tremendous resistance, or I have tremendous bitterness. On and on like that, right? I feel it. I'm prejudiced. I'm prejudiced about short people, about fat people, about different races. I'm prejudiced. I want to feel it. I want to feel it. When you feel it, it'll lighten. You're not a bad person. It's just that we have to let ourselves know what kind of records are going on in there. Otherwise, those reactions or those walls, right? Those walls get built more and more, and it's very strenuous to dismantle them. And it's especially when we put them up like that, it's very strenuous for all of us as a collective to get enough chutzpah together to dismantle them and to bring life forward to make it a cherishing event for a lot of people. I don't know how you feel. I hope somebody else is going to call in. We have like this time for another caller. I want you to call in. Anyway, what happens is, as we're moving through these amazing times, you've noticed this, and I've noticed this. I like to get Upworthy, which is a funny little video series on Facebook. I don't know if that's the only place it is, but if you look up Upworthy, for those of you who haven't seen it, it's often got very good news kinds of videos. I can't even think of an example right now, but I get so much stuff I don't look at it all. But the Upworthy, I tend to look at it, and it's kind of intriguing stories about people getting past difficult situations, or people receiving sort of miraculous help, or people establishing themselves in ways that look like it was impossible. And quite often they're fun and funny and very enlightening when it comes to the fact that humans, like I was talking with Sharon, and animals are showing themselves to be so loving and so communicative with other members of other species. It's just amazing. And you and I could do that. We're seeing more and more of it come through these beautiful pieces that people are submitting on Facebook and any other kind of medium that goes through. I think that there's some great change going on our planet. They're not in Congress right now, those ones, but it's not saying they can't be. It's just like that's not usually where they're featured. But it's a very, very interesting time. And the polarity, it's a bipolar time, right, everybody? The polarities are radiant with reaction. Activeness, as you know. But isn't it interesting that it helps us? It helps us to know where the corruption's been. It helps who has done what and how we have to rectify the slipshod rulemaking, and we have to regulate again. Glass-Steagall Act has to be put back in. There's a whole bunch of ways in which we have to regrow the fabric in not only this country, but in a very fast shrinking world, so we can have a win-win for us all. But we've seen evidence all over the place that there are win-wins going on. People are supporting and loving each other under amazing circumstances. And oh my goodness, that's one of the best things about these times. So when you're dealing with your reactions, when you're allowing yourself to feel, see, know, smell, understand your reactiveness in a way that can calm it, that can see it for what it's worth, right? You're on the way to an evolution that I think is very widespread. Some people don't want to evolve because some people want to, at this point in their soul's history, they want to maintain their connection to whatever they called security. We know that. And I like a little security myself, but gosh knows, I pray every day to please help me to evolve. I remember Peter Calhoun, who is on the other side now, but he was one of my paradigm shifters. And oh my gosh, he was such a shamanic priest that had these tremendous visions about people. And I told you so many times that on that interview, which you can get the podcast of, Peter Calhoun, he was talking about how in his visions where he really awakened when he was an Episcopalian priest, he had visions of people under this, it's like a big skin or a big canopy going around over the world. And everybody, he says, everybody's walking stoop-shouldered. They're stuck underneath it. They don't realize they can bust through it and become bigger. And his lesson to us all was, remember, we're unlimitable. And our reactions are very often what tethers us to a rather limited space, where our creativity is sometimes locked down behind old reactions. This is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you so much for listening to Radiance by Design. I'd love to hear from you. Call me, 520-360-2102. If you'd like a session, tune into my website, veronicaentwistle.com. Paradigm Shifters, Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, sorry. Now daylight time. And of course, it's podcasted on my site, veronicaentwistle.com, iTunes and Stitcher. And some of them are being run on Speak Up Talk Radio, I think in a kind of a random way. So you can hear them and rehear them and use them anywhere you want. So let me know what you think. Good night. Many, many blessings. Good night. Thanks for your call, Sharon. And I'm sorry I missed you, Aaliyah and Holly. And much love.